him. He'll tell you what? How good God's been. How things are happening in his life. And we live in a world that presents a lot of tragedies and a lot of problems to us. And those things are forever shaking and moving. They tell me that the leading cause of disability in America is not the flu. It's not the other things that you may. It's just depression. 18.1% of all adults in America fight depression in their life. I'm here to tell you, Christians don't stay down. When the problem comes, we get up. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't go back. We don't turn around, but we look to the author and the finisher of our faith, and we get up, and by the grace of God, we go on. In this life that we live in, so many things can be shaken. One man said, money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. It can buy a bed, but it can't buy sleep. It can buy a clock, but it can't buy time. My understanding is that I need to be done by 9:30 tonight. But it can buy a book, but not knowledge. It can buy food, but not an appetite. It can buy you friends, but not love. It can buy you position, but not respect. It can buy you blood, but not life. It can buy you insurance, but not safety. It can buy you a Bible, but it cannot buy you a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Money may not be able to buy me any of those things, but I do have a God who can supply a good home, who can supply a night's sleep, who can be there with me when the world's on fire and the darkness veils the sun. This God can be with me, be with you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when the devil comes in like a flood, he raises up a standard. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what the answer is in your life. But you can't stay down. You gotta get up. I'm glad that there are lots of verses that go together. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. If I stopped right there, it'd be kind of a somber note. But I'm glad God doesn't leave you on the mat. I'm glad he doesn't leave you with all that hanging over your head. The wages of sin is death, and we understand and we know that. But he went on to say with anointed pen, the gift of God is eternal life. I'm not looking for wages. I'm looking for a gift. I'm not looking to be paid what I deserve, but I am looking for the grace of God. That is a gift that I can't buy. I can't earn. There's no way I can get it, but God's been good. Storms come and go. The important thing is when the storm blows, that you're close enough to him to awaken his spirit on the inside of you so he can step to the bow of your ship and say, peace, be still. And in that moment of time, you get up off where you're at and you get up and you do that which he says. When he walked out there and the winds are blowing and all that, he just said, peace, be still. It's amazing. God doesn't need a day or a week or a month or a year to muster his power and his glory. I want you to know in a moment's time, he merely said, peace, be still. And it solved everything. There. Try long enough. It'll happen. That's right, don't give up. You can't quit. Christian conquerors don't ever give up. They just get up again. You can fail to these young people and to us older folks, the seniors. The principle is the same. You can fail. And somewhere along the way, we may stub our toe and fall over. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you fail, it does not mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. What it does mean is that God says, I need to do a little more work. I just need you to let me do a little more on the inside of you than what I've done to this point. But Christians never give up, and they don't view themselves as failures. But I view myself as a child of God that's found himself needing the hand of the Creator to reach down and pick me up. I can go through a lot of examples, but let me just mention a couple of them here. John Mark, young fella, went with Paul on his missionary journey. Somewhere, he got homesick, he got sick. Just, I don't know what he did, except he left. He packed up his bags and said, see you later, I'm out of here. And he came home. When Paul finishes his missionary journey, comes back, makes the report to Jerusalem. At that time, he's going to go on another, lay hands on him. They anoint him. Says, oh, okay, Paul, we're going to go. And Silas, who's with him now, says, listen, John Mark, I know he left with us, left us last time, but you know what? The man's not a failure. He just made a mistake. I'm glad God doesn't see anybody in here tonight as a failure. Oh, you've stumbled and fallen, and I have too. We've all made our mistakes. But you know what? Silas says, oh, it's all right. He just made a mistake. He's not a failure. And Paul says, not going to happen that way. And so Barnabas takes John Mark, and he goes one direction, and Paul takes Silas, and he goes the other direction. Could I tell you that Mark may have made a mistake, but he was not a failure. He got up and kept going when they got back to Jerusalem and got his life kind of turned back around. I don't care how bad you feel. I don't care what you think. I'm here to tell you that Jesus says you're not a failure. A very popular singer a number of decades ago by the name of Ethel Walters was asked one time about her relationship and what she was doing, and her answer was so classic. She said, honey, Jesus don't sponsor no flops. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your sponsor. He wants you to win more than you want to win. He wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed. He wants to see you succeed more than you do. It is God who says that he'll be there with you. It is there in the end of Samson's life that his attitude totally changed when he came up out of the prison that day. And he said, listen, God, I've made a mistake, but I want you to hear me this one last time. And God heard that man's plea because of the attitude of his heart. And God reached down and re-anointed him and gave him the strength of that he'd had in the past. He pulled the temple pillars down, and 3,000 people died that day. What happened? Somewhere along the way, Samson woke up in a prison cell and said, listen, I may have failed God, but I'm not a failure. I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to get up and try it one more time. I'm going to ask God one more time if he'll just give me the strength I need to be a success. The prodigal son had to look around from a pig pen and had to come to the determination, I refuse to stay here. Back in my daddy's house, I get treated better than this. I'm going to get up and go again. I refuse to stay here where I'm at and wallow in this mud and this filth. By the grace of God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back to where my daddy's at. Psalms 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And just when you think you're just going to stumble and fall and can't get any lower, there's something wonderful that happens when this God of eternity just reaches his hand way down and gets a hold of your hand, and he begins to pick you back up, because God doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you as a success, as somebody who can become what he intended for him to be as the great architect of our lives. Why it's so important, and listen, this kind of, let me bring a focus here. The reason it's so important is because you have to know, and I have to know, that I'm not going to give up on him because he never gives up on you. He never quits. He never stops. 10 times Moses has to intercede to God for the children of Israel. They did their murmuring, their complaining, their idolatry, and all that went with it out in the wilderness. Korah began to rebel with his 250 leaders. They argued about him taking too much on himself and all of that. God was with them through the wilderness. God was with them through the conquering of Canaan. God was with them through 26 different judges that ruled over them. God was with them through David's adultery and his murder, through Uzziah's intrusion into the priesthood, Solomon's idolatry with 700 wives. That's not idolatry, that's just stupid. Through the Babylonian captivity, he stayed with them 70 years. Through the Roman occupation, he stayed with them. Through the religious Pharisee segment of their life, when it was just form and ritual, he stayed with them. Through 400 years, he stayed with them. And for almost 2,000 years, from that Calvary's cross to here today, he stayed with them because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do not fear or be afraid. God said, you may think you're going to walk away from me, but I'm right behind you, and I will never leave you. I'm so thankful tonight to know that even when it feels like I've given up, that he never gives up. That through all these last 3,500 years, all the failures that the Jews had, all of the children of Abraham had, you know what? God just stayed right with him. He kept taking through one situation after another, but he stayed with them until finally in 1918, I think it was, they had the Balfour Declaration. The Jews had a right to come back together. In 1948, they became a nation again, and God is still with them because he promised a long time ago that he would never leave them nor forsake them. He said in Deuteronomy 31, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We normally think of that as a New Testament verse, but that was in the Old Testament. Do not fear or be dismayed. He said, you're going to go through this wilderness. And by day, I'm going to have a pillar of cloud over you. And by night, I'll have a pillar of fire. God had the first air-conditioned church in existence. That's why I believe air conditioning is the will of God. During the daytime, he just hung this cloud over him. He could have let him sweat. But God put a cloud over him, covered him, and kept him cool in the daytime. And at night, they tell me the desert gets really cold at night. Somewhere and somehow that pillar began to fade away, but in its place came a pillar of fire so that God could give them light to see and warmth as they stayed that day on the ground. I'm here to tell you, God said, I will take care of you. You may think you're in a wilderness. You may feel like you're wandering in circles, but I know exactly where you're at, and I'm going to keep you warm in the day at nighttime, and I'm going to keep you cool during the daytime. God could have got rid of that anytime he wanted, all the problems they had. The greatest prophecies of the Old Testament are by an old reprobate prophet by the name of Balaam. When God finally told Balaam, just go do it, just say what I tell you, nothing else, 3 different times. If you want to find the most beautiful prophetic utterance about the coming Messiah, they came out of the mouth of Balaam. God said, you may have thought, Balak, that you're going to hire a prophet of God to curse my people, but they're mine, and I'm never going to leave them. I'll never forsake them. I will not allow you to destroy them. And so he begins to prophesy of the great prophetic Messiah that was to come, and God kept them. Not even an old reprobate prophet could curse them. In Joshua chapter 1, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong, courageous, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is a promise he made to Joshua. Joshua had been the guy that was second in command. The buck didn't stop with him until now. And God, I am convinced, looked in his heart and said, I think the boy may be just a little bit intimidated. He said, I'm not going to leave you on your own, Joshua. Have not I commanded you be strong and courageous? I know you may feel just a little bit intimidated here because all of a sudden now there are millions of people just waiting for you to give direction in their lives as you go through the enemy territory that you've heard about as you're getting ready to enter Canaan land with the giants and all the rest of that business. But he said, Joshua, let me tell you, if I will let God speak to me, he will. Whatever I need to hear, God can speak it if I can hear it. I have no idea for sure what was going on in Joshua's heart. But if you read between the lines, it appears that there was some intimidation. There was some fear. There was some trepidation of, how am I going to do this? I'm not Moses. This is not going to work for me. And all of a sudden, God said, let me talk to you, Joshua. Let me tell you that it's not you that's going to do it anyway. I'm the one that's going to lead you. And I'm the one that's going to give you victory. And I'm going to give you the ability to conquer those Canaanites. Galatians, he said, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't just toss in the towel just because you get a little weary and tired. Because there's a rest wherewith the weary are made to rest. There's a place where you can go that God can give you spiritual and natural rest. In Matthew, he said these words. What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them was gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99. God is so concerned about you, he would just go find you. I don't know where that little sheep was at. I don't know where it got lost at. All I know is that the shepherd said, listen, I got to go find him. I don't care where you are, where you go, what's going on? I'm telling you, God's going to come looking for you. He'll never give up on you. You may think you're giving up on him, but you never will have him give up on you. And so when you find yourself flat on your back and you feel like I've got nowhere to go and I don't know what to do, could I tell you the only thing for a Christian to do is not to give up, but to get up and say, I'm going to take one more step. I'm going to try one more time. I will not give up. I will not quit. I will not turn around. I will not go back. Let me tell you that Judas found himself in a mess. He said, I got to get my life together, tried to take the money back and all the rest of that. But it didn't work. You can't do it on your own. You can't solve your own problems. I can't solve my problems. I wish I could. But let me tell you, I do know somebody who has all the answers. I do know a God that says, I will find you if you can't find me. And if you can't conquer, I'll conquer for you. In fact, we're going to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. All of these things that I have going on inside of my head and my heart, I'm here to tell you that God says that he'll help me if I'll just get up and try one more time. I'm not going to lay there and die in my own self-pity. I'm going to get up and say, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to his hand against that day, that God will not leave me alone. They tell me that, and this is what Christians are, winners are always part of the answer. Loser is always a part of the problem. A winner always has a program. The loser always has an excuse. Let me just stop here long enough to say this. He doesn't sponsor any flops, and there are no losers in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That he had a purpose and a reason for putting you here and putting a desire in your heart, and God never got you started on this journey to drop you off somewhere along the way, but God intended for you, if he ever touched you one time, God intended for you to be saved. God intended for you to make it. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. He's just not going to get back up. He's just going to lay there and drown in his own sin. Let me tell you, you need to be able to get up and reach up and cry out. And this God that loved you enough to touch you the first time and save you, this God will never leave you. Would you stand with me, please? Not quite 9:30. I'm not going to rattle your faith, but let me just give you some facts. Adam failed to obey God. Got kicked out of the garden because of that woman. Where'd that come from? I didn't mean that. I'm going to get up from that comment. I can tell you that right now. I'm not going to own that one at all. Adam failed God. He got kicked out of a garden. But then he produced a Seth that was the promised line of the Savior. The hope of the whole world came from a man who made a miserable mess out of his life. Abraham got in a pressure situation. You ever been in one of those? He got in a pressure situation. What'd he do? He lied. She's not my wife. That's my sister. Which tragically was, and I don't have time to go into all that, was true. But he put a spin on it that shouldn't have been there. And so he got under pressure, and he messed up, and he lied. Moses got angry at the people and disobeyed God and caused a mess by striking the rock the second time. Jacob is born. He's going to be the founder of Israel. His sons are going to be the ones that have the tribes. You know what Jacob's name means? His very nature was deceiver. Sneaky. This guy was a mess. He tricked his father-in-law. He did all of that business. He comes back, and he doesn't have a change until he wrestles with an angel all night. Gideon worships his own success in the golden ephod that he makes, and it becomes an idol to Israel. Samson failed morally, but succeeded in serving God in his death. Job had a problem with his self-righteousness. Samuel may have been a great prophet, but he couldn't discipline his own kids and made a mess out of the priesthood. Solomon is so wise, he outsmarts himself. Marries all these ladies. Peter denies that he knows him. Paul refuses to have mercy on John Mark. John the Baptist is in the prison with discouragement. And God never left a one of them one time. God never gave up on them one time. God never quit. And so I'm here to tell you, when life throws you a curveball, when problems come and situations happen, circumstances come along, could I tell you this? Don't give up. Just get up and know that he'll be right there with you and help you and get you through it, because you are not a failure just because you failed.
Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Never.
Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails.
Never give up. Get up, but don't ever give up.
Never gives up. It never runs out.
Take anything home from this, especially as young people. I don't know anybody, any adult that wants to go back to being a teenager. Maybe mid-20s, but no, don't take me any further than that. So it gets a little complicated sometimes when you're a teenager and trying to figure out directions in life and relationships and all that. If you would remember those five words, never give up. Get up. And whenever something comes along and you don't know how to handle it, just never give up. Get up. If you can just let those things be emblazoned on your spirit, whenever the problem comes, and know this, He'll never give up. Okay? So it's never give up. Get up. Remember those five words. Simple, but they can change and transform your life. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening to the word of the Lord. Shake hands, greet one another in Jesus' name.